We're blessed to have our speaker today. David Robinson is the superintendent of Mid-America Yearly Meeting and also a member of the Barclay College Board. And so will you join me in a word of prayer for him? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and thank you for bringing the speaker out. Father, I pray that you bless the speaker. Help him to speak your truth only. Help us to hear your truth only. And may we be blessed and transformed by the reading of your word and the sharing of this message. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome David Robinson.
Thank you, Derek. Brother Dominic said to Brother Benedict on the road to Umbria, "Hi." Thank you. It's good to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, the one that we've been singing about. In this day when everyone wants something that lasts longer, how thankful we are that we have an everlasting God. Amen?
Amen.
It's powerful. I just bring you greetings on behalf of the Evangelical Friends Church of Mid-America, comprised of about 63 churches. And that's going to change briefly because we're interviewing some church planters. Looks like that we'll be planting another three churches before the end of this year. So kind of excited about that. I don't know about you, but that kind of charges my battery up, especially at the age in which I find myself. It's wonderful to be with you again and to be able to share something, hopefully, that will be meaningful toward the end of this semester. Last weekend, I spent in Southern California. Whoever's from Southern California. Nice to be in 70-degree weather, that kind of thing, especially after yesterday when it was questionable about... Dave Williams sent me an email, something to the effect, you can always count on when Dave Robinson is on the schedule that we're going to have some kind of a snowstorm or sleet or something like that, because that's happened for the last 2 years, and 1 year I had to cancel. So it's kind of interesting, even scheduling in April, that we would find that to be true. I spent some time in Southern California, and I was able to hear a message from Chris Conway, who is the senior pastor now at Rose Drive Friends Church, who is, this weekend, going to be celebrating their 50th anniversary. And I think that's kind of interesting simply because my wife and I are going to be celebrating next month our 50th anniversary. So just 1 month before we were married, Rose Drive Friends Church, which is the second largest Friends Church in the United States, is 50 years old. I think they've brought in more people to their family than I brought into mine. But it's really exciting to see how God has led. And Chris Conway had a message about, he actually took somewhere like 4,000 years of historical account through Christianity to the very point where Rose Drive had its beginnings. And he did that in 30 minutes. I don't know of any professors who've really been able to do that in one semester. But he was able to do that. And in all that process, he continually said to the congregation, or asked the congregation, "Is our God still with us?" And he coached them ahead of time to say, "Yes, our God is with us." It's wonderful to be able to reflect that in all of history, we can look back and ask ourselves the question, is our God still with us? And we can say with a resounding voice, yes, our God is still with us. I'm always intrigued by the heroism that I found in just looking at stories. As you go through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you find these great heroes of the faith. that have stepped forward to become what God wanted them to be at the time when God called them. And I also love seeing played out in movies. As I go through various genre of movies, I jotted down a whole bunch of these. In fantasy films, there is, you know, the heroic story of the Lord of the Rings, which you're all familiar with. All of those stories that are involved in that from, just that world of heroic adventure. You know, the never-ending story, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. You know, there's one of my favorites, and yours also, I think, Princess Bride, that heroic story. You know, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. You know, that's great lines from that movie. From science fiction, of course, any of the Star Wars films, the Star Trek, E.T., all of those kind of heroic kinds of things. There is, you know, back in history, the Three Musketeers, Robin Hood, all of those older versions. There's Gladiator, which I really enjoyed. Then there's the Western genre with John Wayne, True Grit, all those wonderful old movies, even one that's a little more contemporary, Dances with Wolves. Then there's the Indiana Jones romantic kind of hero that's out there, even Crocodile Dundee. the modern kind of vigilante with Dirty Harry, the Terminator, you know, those kinds of things. There's war movies. We won't get into that. But there's the urban heroes, the Karate Kid. You know, I love that Mr. Miyagi. And then of course, the superheroes with Batman and Captain America and all those wonderful movies. One of my favorites, however, is a film that probably none of you have seen. It's a movie called The Castle. It's a movie about a family in Australia. This father, they bought this property, but then they built the airport right next to his property. And so they live at the end of the runway. He loves his home. It's his castle. But then he's confronted with a... this guy's great. His family, he loves his family. His wife is the greatest cook in the world. What do you call this, my dear? It's called meatloaf. Oh, I've got to say, this is the greatest thing I've ever eaten. Every meal, it's like that. You know, not always meatloaf, but, you know, he just gives this wonderful portrayal. His son, he encourages to be involved in entrepreneurship, and this boy is buying things in order to sell things. So he gets this deal. Well, can't you get it at a better price, you know, and he goes through that process. Well, he's confronted with the fact that somebody's going to buy his property to expand the airport. This guy then becomes a hero, battling against the forces that would take away his castle. And I think it's just a fascinating look at just a common, ordinary guy who becomes a hero. So if you're on Netflix or if you ever get... look up The Castle. It's a great movie, funny. Well, you may know it. Maybe it's got an old guy humor to it. I don't know. But it's just a wonderful sense of the heroic and how you fight against those things that would seem to come against you. Today, I just want to talk about what takes place when we look at the scenario of a real heroic adventure. There are some of those in the New Testament that involve, always, they involve Jesus in the gospel accounts. Jesus becomes the hero in every story that's there. And I want to look at one from Mark 4. It's a very familiar one. You saw it in Sunday school. It was, you know, you have all this story, but it's Mark 4. beginning in verse 35. This story is also given to us in Matthew chapter 8 and in Luke 8. Same story, told in a little different way. But let me just read it to you, and then we'll talk about the cast of characters who is involved in the story. Jesus had been teaching all day. We see the account where he gives parables to them one after the other. And then he says in verse 35, that day when the evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Now, I don't know how you read that. Some would read it with dignity, saying to his disciples, oh, let's go over to the other side. But I'd like to say Jesus is coming to them with a sense of adventure. Let's go over to the other side. Just like something's going to happen. So leaving the crowd behind him, they took him along just as he was in the boat. Ask the question, what does that mean? Just as he was. Did they expect him to go change clothes? Did they expect him to, make a pit stop? Did they expect him to go buy some snacks for the journey? I don't know, but they took him along just as he was. I don't know. I don't know what that means. I guess some of you scholars are going to have to dig into that. What does that mean? Just as he was. I don't know. It's a curious thing. Then there were, there were other boats with him. Why? I don't know. Was the boat too small to get all the disciples together? Were there people who said, "Ooh, let's go too"? I don't know. That looks like there's going to be a party on the other side. Let's go. I don't know. You know, there's just so much about the gospel accounts we don't know, but it's fun to use your imagination as you go along. So there were other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern. Of course, you people know that that's the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. Disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who's this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Here's this drama that's unfolding before us. Jesus, the main character, the hero, supporting cast of disciples, and there is also a supporting cast, although we don't really understand, of the other boats. Why are they there? We don't know. But then there's a character that we often don't realize is there, and that is the storm. You know, storms have personalities. Some of them are terrible. They're vicious. Many of you experienced, 5 years ago, that the tornado came ripping through Greensburg and tore up most of the town. And you know, there is some familiarity with the viciousness of storms. None of us really like them that much because there's anxiety involved in them. We don't know what's going to happen. The issue, it seems to me, is that here is a group among whom were some of the best fishermen in the area. At least three of them were fishermen. They were familiar with boats. They were familiar with the Sea of Galilee, the Lake Gennesaret. And they were familiar with storms. So what is it about this one that scared them so badly? As they anticipated seeing the clouds begin to form as they struck out across the sea, and the clouds began to darken, and they joined together, and you could see the wind begin to pick up, and the waves began to develop some white caps, and the boat began to rock and roll, And Jesus went to sleep. And the disciples were not asleep. We don't understand all that that's going on, but there's that dramatic event when the disciples begin to say to one another, hey, we're going to drown if something doesn't happen. And we know that there is one here that's sleeping through all this, and he's our leader, and what should we do? And I'm guessing that Peter said, no, you go wake him up. No, you go wake him up. He's tired. He's resting. But he loves you best, so you go wake him up, he said to John. And so John, I'm guessing, kind of shook him on the shoulder. Hey, Jesus. No, I don't think he did. Hey, Jesus, we're drowning here. Can't you help us? I'm guessing. Wouldn't you? I would. I'd be screaming at the guy. What are you doing sleeping? We're about to drown. And I suppose Jesus very calmly, the hero, comes to save the day. And he got up, and I'm sure he looked at the disciples with a kind of questioning glance. And then he spoke to the storm. He spoke to the storm. The storm has a personality. The storm takes on human characteristics. The storm is a very distinct character in this drama. And he spoke to the storm, be still. And immediately, the waves calmed. There's another character in this story I think that it's important for us to look at. We've got Jesus, the creator of the universe, who speaks to storms, and they obey him. We've got disciples who are fearful, anxious, curious, wondering. Fearful doesn't really describe it. These guys were scared to death. They were petrified. And we've got a storm out there who's scaring everybody to death except Jesus. But there's a fourth character I want us to notice, and that's the reader, the audience. You realize that every time you see a movie, you're a part of that movie? Every time you see a play, you're a part of that play? Simply because you're a part of the audience that has a response to what's given. You like it, you don't like it, well, you don't do that anymore, but you hiss and you boo when it's a melodrama, you know, that kind of stuff. The audience is expected to respond with applause, sometimes with standing applause. And the audience is expected to have some kind of response. So I believe the gospel writers are putting this story down for us to say that Jesus becomes or is the hero in this story. But the second kind of hero in this story is the storm. And why do I say that? It's not the disciples, it's the storm. Simply because Jesus is able to speak to the storm and the storm immediately obeys. The disciples are left with fear and awe, wondering, what is this all about? Who is this guy that he can speak to storms and they obey him? See, we still don't quite figure it out, do we? And then there's you and me, the audience. What do we do with this story? How do we see Jesus as he speaks to the storms in our lives? How do we view Jesus as he calms the winds and the waves around us? Are we questioning like the disciples? Who is this? What is he doing? What does this mean? What kind of things can Jesus say to these disciples that will make them more believing than they are? To make them respond to the storm? The audience is now the one that's the deciding character. What's our response? How do we respond to Jesus when he speaks to the storms in your life to say, peace, be still? Jesus says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Holy Spirit to you, and he will teach you and guide you into all truth. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, but as the Father sends it. See? That's what Jesus, I think, is saying to everyone. What's our response? How do we go through the end of the semester with the response that the storm had to Jesus saying, peace, be still? And that's when I think the character kind of turns a little bit, and Jesus is, as the main character, the hero in the story, saying, you too can be heroes. You too can embark on this quest of having peace in the midst of that storm. Now, Jesus does not take away the storms. Those storms come to every one of us. They're part of our lives. But in those storms, he says, peace. Keep me safe in the midst of the storm would be our prayer, I believe. So, here's the deal. We either respond as Jesus expects us to gather peace from that stormy condition, or we go on about fostering that storm with our worry, with our fear, with our anxieties. So what is it? Which way is it? My prayer for you is that, what is it, 2 weeks now? School's over? 3 weeks. This is a 3-week period filled with finishing up projects, going through examinations, and then finishing up your plans for the summer and for the rest of your lives, really, some of you. The storm is there. What does Jesus have to say? Peace. Be still. Is our God still with us? He is definitely still with us. He's speaking peace in the storm of your life. Lord Jesus, thank you that you speak those words of peace. In the anxiety that we have, in the fearfulness, in the next steps of our lives, I pray that you will be that peace in the midst of the storm. And that when the waves seem to be swamping our boat, that you'll be the one who will just give us that sense of calmness so that we can be then the hero in the story. That we can go through life with a sense of peace and sense of calmness that people all around us can wonder, what's the deal with this person? What's happening? And you can speak that peace. We give you thanks for that. Making this prayer in the name of Jesus, our everlasting and ever-loving Lord. Amen. Amen.
Grace and peace, you're dismissed.